This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great nation, and to say that, as Senator Tim Scott has said very memorably, Senator from South Carolina, it is not a racist nation. And you cannot explain everything that is wrong about America in terms of racism. It's much more important that we face reality. There's a new book called Facing Reality. The subtitle is Two Truths About Race in America. The author is Charles Murray, who, as I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, wrote a very compelling book. I still remember whole passages from that book, and it came out, 30 years ago. It's called Losing Ground. And it's about the welfare system in America and helped to, at that book, to fix the welfare system. He also wrote a very important book, wildly controversial, called The Bell Curve, and now this one. Charles Murray is the Hayek Emeritus Scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and the book is just released in hardcover. It's posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Charles, great to speak to you again, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you, and it's been too long. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you. Do you expect some controversy over this book? I'm almost laughing.
Well, yes, we will laugh together on that. Michael, in this one, I've probably taken on the two most sensitive topics that there can be. I did not do this full of joy and enthusiasm, but last summer, as I watched the national news media just parrot the systemic racism line without talking about the very real problems that are associated in the case of policing with differential crime rates in black neighborhoods and white neighborhoods, and in terms of the problems in the labor market of not coming to grips with the differences in who's coming out of the pipeline and being available for employment in a variety of highly technical jobs. So, I've been trying to explain that racism doesn't explain these disparities.
And but you are not suggesting, and I've read the book, and it's of course very well written, and it is extremely challenging and fascinating. But you are not suggesting for a moment that racism doesn't exist in America. Racism,
not at all. It does exist. The question is, do we look at the disparities and say, oh, well, what else could it be but racism that explains all this stuff? And the answer is, well, there are reasons why we see these disparities that have nothing to do with racism. Now, both coexist side by side. Systemic racism is a very different kind of charge, and the identity politics behind those who are making it has a really crucial role in deciding where this country goes. Just real quickly, Michael, the American Creed, something that younger listeners have never heard before probably, but it used to be a very widely used phrase, that the bedrock value of America is to treat people as individuals. You come to the table with what you have, and we aren't supposed to pay any attention to your parents or your religion or your race, color, or creed. And identity politics, which is behind the systemic racism charge, repudiates that ideal explicitly.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here, and not to be too diabolical, but the regular answer that you would get is you're trying to erase history. If you have 400 years of historic subjugation and oppression, if you have since the settlement of the United States, more than 200 years of living in slavery, how can you say that that is not going to have an impact that's going to be intergenerational?
Well, first, the burden is on people to prove that there is not only intergenerational effects, but we aren't talking with those allegations of father to son to, or three generations. We're saying things that happened 200 years ago are determinative of how people behave today, and that's a much more ambitious proposition. I'm not saying you can't make it, but they don't make that with evidence. They assert it. And let me make another assertion. We are now living in the third or fourth generation of people who have grown up after the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was passed. Now, shouldn't we also say, if you have intergenerational effects, that we should be looking at people who have grown up in a country where the legal impediments went away quite a while ago? And for that matter, the social impediments had been reduced. So if you're going to talk about history, that's fine. Let's go to data. But let's not glibly say that things that happened in 1820 are affecting the behavior of an 18-year-old today.
No, but people are saying, and they're making the point, there was a great deal of public attention and a tremendous public attention on the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Massacre. And something as horrifying as the Tulsa Massacre, what that can have an impact on is obviously the psychology of people. There are people who actually commemorated the massacre. They met with President Biden, who were survivors of it, who were more than 100 years old. That's not distant history, is it?
Yeah, it's distant history. How many people had heard of the Tulsa Massacre, including blacks, before it got all the publicity that it got? You know, now, Michael, I'm in a position of being kind of a curmudgeon. And the reason I'm being a curmudgeon about this is that you need to look at evidence. I'll give you a topic on which I can provide evidence for the effects on blacks, and it's not from 100 years ago. It's from a more recent tradition, much more recent tradition, of blacks telling young black children not to act white. And acting white means studying hard on your books and going to school and paying attention to what the teacher says. There's a cultural phenomenon, not 100 years old, of recent origin, that I think is having absolutely devastating effects.
Okay, you know what the answers would be to what you just said. You'd say that they don't want, black parents don't want children to act white because they believe in the whole history of white privilege and of white identity, and they don't want people to have that assumption that I'm naturally superior because I'm one race or another. To talk specifically about the book, you talk about two truths about race in America. One of them, I think a lot of people are very aware of, and they're aware of the background, which is that the rates of violent crime are higher. Black people are vastly more likely to be victims, and also more vastly likely to be perpetrators. If that is not a reflection of systemic racism somehow, what would be the cause of that disparity?
Michael, I think it's in the first page of the book. I say I'm not going to talk about causes, which seems to be simply obtuse, because what you just said, how are we ever going to solve this problem if we don't understand the causes, and what can it be if it's not systemic racism? And the same thing goes with cognitive ability. And what I say on the first page and what I'll say right now is those are important issues. You're welcome to examine them at length, and they are examined endlessly by all sorts of scholars. What is should be incorporated into our public policy? And let me pursue the crime example to illustrate what I mean. What is today in major cities around the country is roughly on average about a 10-to-1 ratio of violent crime by blacks compared to whites. Okay, that's a very large difference. And the reason it's important to recognize the existence of the difference independently of causes is that it has huge effects on policing. If you are a police officer working in a low-income black neighborhood, you are working in a very dangerous environment. When you have a confrontation with a person that you need to arrest, you have to take more measures to assert your authority. You have to be ready to call for backup sooner. And in a variety of other ways, you are responding to a more dangerous environment. And that explains a lot, not all, it explains a lot of the differences in policing.
We will continue the conversation with Charles Murray, the author of the explosive new book, Facing Reality. More coming up on the MedVet Show. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Lots of explosive issues that confront Americans in 2021, especially with a crucial election coming up in 2022. But none of those issues, none of those disputes, more essential or more crucial, says Charles Murray, our guest on the Michael Medved Show, than the need to defend the American creed, which he writes about extensively in his new book, Facing Reality, two truths about race in America. What part of the American creed is directly under threat today by some of the propositions of the extreme left?
The core ideal is a threat. The idea of treating people as individuals. I mean, I'm referring to concepts that come from the first couple of paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence and that were elaborated subsequently. But the gist of them is that in the United States, you are judged as an individual, not by the groups to which you belong. The critical race theory and identity politics more generally say, no, it's exactly the opposite, that because you have people who have been historically oppressed, going back to the arguments that you were making earlier, because of that, we must treat people differently as groups, with the state using its power to give preference to the groups that it feels deserve them, and to impose penalties on the groups that we have decided are responsible for those.
Even more, in your book, you make the point, which is fundamental, is that when Saint-Jean de Crèvecœur was writing about the American, this new man, who is this new man, this American, one of the stipulations that he put forward about what it meant to be American was the freedom to start over, not being judged by your distinguished ancestry or even your criminal ancestry. You got to begin life anew. That was part of the new world that our founders created. How does that square with the idea of reparations?
No, it doesn't square with the idea of reparations at all. The whole point that he was making about not being the right to make yourself anew is that we are living life as it exists now, and we are making choices for which we are responsible, and our achievements or our failures or the rest of it are not the products of the past. They are the products of a lived life. The reason why this is so incredibly important to the United States we not lose it, well, there are two reasons. One is the whole idea of individualism is unique. It was unique when the United States first based a country on it, and it is what made, in some sense, America, America. Another reason is essential is that we are indeed a multiracial country, and one can just look around at the many, many groups, from Asians to Iranians to blacks to whites to Latinos to, you can go through this whole melange of groups. They are different. They are different in all sorts of ways. And those ways, by and large, are vive la différence, you know? It's great. It makes life in America incredibly richer than it would be otherwise. But they are different. And so if we start to say we are going to judge people as groups, we are going to focus on the characteristics of groups as opposed to individuals, we'll never make a multiracial society work. And worse than that, if we go that route, pretty soon, whites are going to be saying, we can play that game too. And there, Michael, lies disaster.
What is that catastrophe, at which you use the term catastrophe repeatedly in the book, that is threatened by people not challenging or not recognizing these two basic truths about race in America?
The problem is that there are an awful lot of whites out there who are not part of the elite. They are people who have not seen themselves as racist. On the contrary, they see themselves as having treated minority members of their workplaces with respect and affection. And they are now being told that they are evil, that they are responsible for the problems that minorities face, and that they better change their ways or else. It's worked very well with the elite. I mean, the people in Silicon Valley were doing everything but banging their foreheads on the ground triple times to protest their guilt and their sudden recognition of how racist they'd been. But an awful lot of white Americans are saying, wait a minute, and I've had enough of this. I'm not a racist. Quit telling me I am. And, you know, if you're going to keep telling me I am, I'm going to figure out a way to get even, in a sense. If you're going to use this kind of political power in those kinds of ways, well, there are a lot of whites, and we can do the same thing.
Let me put to you, and I know because I keep up with your work, you describe yourself as a libertarian. You are not, I don't believe, a religious believer.
I sort of am now, but never mind that.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it. But there's a particular challenge for religious believers, because whether you're Jewish or Catholic or evangelical Christian or Muslim, for that matter, there is a great imperative that is put on experiencing guilt if something terrible has been perpetrated. And that the idea is you can only improve character by building on guilt and confession and recognition and repentance. Isn't that what this critical race theory aims for, is using guilt on the part of the white majority in America to try to make not just things better, but to make individuals better and to build character? What's wrong with that, quote, religious point of view?
Michael, I am a sinner like all people, and I am in need of God's grace like all people. However, if you say that I'm a sinner because something my great-great-grandfather did, I'm not going to buy that. You can make me feel guilty for all sorts of things that I've done. You can't make me feel guilty for what my great-great-grandfather did. And I think that an awful lot of white Americans take that position, and I agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond, because the actual majority of Americans do not have great-great-grandfathers who were even living in America, because of the massive immigration that we had that occurred in the 19th century and the early 20th century. In terms of the there's so much to talk about with this book, and it's so important. I hope we can have you back. The book, again, is Facing Reality, Two Truths About Race in America, and it is full of enlightenment, and I won't quite say inspiration, but it should inspire people to look more closely at our current situation. Charles Murray is a national resource and certainly a source of controversy and enlightened debate. The book is posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back on some examples from current politics that are not quite as credible. Coming up on the Medved Show.
Become a Medhead member today.
Michael, my wife and I are Medhead members, and we've listened to you for years.
Commercial-free podcasts, commentaries, find out more at michaelmedved.com. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Police say at least 100 people are unaccounted for after a high-rise condo partially collapsed near Miami Beach. The Miami-Dade County Police Director making the grim announcement this afternoon. So far, one person is dead and 35 people were rescued. As rescue efforts continue, Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis says he's hoping for the best when it comes to people's safety after the partial collapse.
It's a really, really tragic situation. So we'll hope for the best in terms of additional recoveries, but we are bracing for some bad news just given the destruction that we're seeing.
Weekly jobless claims are down. The Labor Department reporting 411,000 Americans filed for first-time unemployment benefits last week. That's 7,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The Michael Medved Show, we were talking with Charles Murray, who has written what is bound to be a hugely controversial book when it gets further discussion in the United States. This book, Facing Reality, but it one of the things that it does is it brings into focus what right now is a very disturbing intersection of the idea between public safety and crime and the surge in crime, and the idea of overcoming those elements of racism that Charles Murray and any sane person recognizes are still part of American life. And the idea that right now the most important thing to do is in an era of surging crime and a truly serious upsurge in crime that Tom Friedman of the New York Times, for instance, says is going to reelect Trump unless Biden handles it more effectively, that entire situation still allows people like Representative Ayanna Pressley, who is the Massachusetts member of the Squad, just said on CNN with Don Lemon that basically this is the ideal time. She still supports a radical reimagining for defunding the police. Listen, clip 9.
So, yes, I support a radical reimagining of community safety and public safety, which means reallocating and not further investing in a carceral state.
All right.
Especially, Don, when we have not yet ended qualified immunity.
Okay. What she is talking about here, and alluding to at least, is the fact that we have had major changes in bail policies, in the policies of actually keeping bad people behind bars. A tremendous percentage of the violent crime in America, the majority of it, is committed by people who have previous history with violent crime. It's a real factor in America. And so if you have, quote, bail reform, if you have this much trumpeted situation where we have change that makes it easier for people who are arrested for hideously violent acts, it makes it easier for them to be released or to serve a minimum sentence or turn out on the streets. Is this really so difficult to understand? Is there really a racial component to it? The idea that it is not a good idea to take someone who has been a repeated violent criminal and to turn that individual loose? There was another segment on CNN with Nixia Jordan, who was the fiance of a New York City murder victim named Milton Grant. And she talked about one of the factors that led to her fiance's death. Listen, this is clip 13.
You never believed this could happen to your family, never happy, and to Milton, yet you know that right now we're seeing this rise in crime in cities across the country, in New York City. Why do you think it's happening?
I think many people are struggling due to COVID, due to unemployment rates. Even though we have jobs available, people don't want to work. They rather just collect unemployment. And I feel the government needs to put a stop to people making claims that have the ability to work. Go out and work for your money. Go out and work to buy your own things. Don't steal and don't kill just to get those things. Work for them just like my husband did.
Okay, this is fundamental and part of the American creed that Charles Murray alluded to. And this idea that somehow you can justify looting in the name of racial justice. Remember, there was a leading intellectual who actually put forward a book, I'm glad to say it wasn't a bestseller, called In Defense of Looting, that looting was somehow creating more racial and economic justice. That is not the belief of Glenn Lowry, who's been a guest on this show many times, professor at Brown University, one of the leading black conservatives in the country. In his podcast, The Glenn Show, he gave out his opinion of the whole defund the police and that movement and what it means to the country. Listen.
Defund the police is a mindless seizing of the microphone by radical intellectuals with a policy program that is diametrically opposed to the interest of black people. That, I mean, I think that's a demonstrable statement that I just made. Mm-hmm. So why hasn't Barack Obama spoken vigorously against it? I mean, not to single him out, but I'm going to single him out. He's a former president of the United States. I mean, I see why the Democrats, and excuse me for ranting here a little bit, I apologize, but this is subject matter that I care a lot about. I see why the Democrats are comfortable with a conversation that's built around police brutality. You can't leave your whole house if you're black. Everybody's going to discriminate against you, white supremacy, because their political fortunes depend critically upon a very high proportion of African-American loyalty to the thing. Right. But I think it's bad for the country, and in the long run, it's bad for African-Americans ourselves.
And isn't that directly obvious? And if you asked people today, in the midst of where we are in the month of June of 2021, how many people think we should defund the police? Or how many people think we should severely cut resources to law enforcement? Do you think you'd get a majority anywhere? I don't think you would even get a majority in Seattle, and we'll have a chance to test that as Seattle voters coming up. From the New York Times, Mara Gay, was appearing on MSNBC, and she blamed the rise in crime. Well, listen to what she had to say. Clip three.
The United States has a gun problem. States has, as you so eloquently said, we have too many guns on our streets, and so we need federal action to get them off the streets, because individual states and cities like New York cannot stop the flow of guns from coming into New York City, for example, without federal action, just rational action to prevent bad actors from getting their hands on guns. So that's the first thing. The other thing is that we should just recognize that people who study violence and crime will tell you right now that it is too soon to know and understand exactly why we are seeing the crime spike across the country that we are. But those who have worked on this issue for a very long time know that it's what they will tell you is that this is not surprising given the level of disruption, trauma, grief, joblessness, homelessness, and just general upheaval that the United States has gone through, particularly communities of color and people living in poverty across the United States.
Okay, the United States has not gone through massive economic hardship recently. If you take a look at what's happened in the United States, and this goes back to the Obama administration and goes all the way through the Trump administration, we have had a slowly growing economy. And this idea of poverty increasing, there's no indication that that is the case in the country. And right now, there is a labor shortage. Does that go with her explanation for violence? No, it does not. So what about critical race theory in the military? We will get to that and more on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll-free 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
One of the citations that President Reagan used to love making about Abraham Lincoln had to do with the notion that Americans should strive to be on God's side, not to assert that God is necessarily on our side. We'll be talking about that at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, my presentation about my book, God's Hand on America, that is taking place on Wednesday night. Lecture will be on Wednesday night on the 14th of July. And before that, we're doing a live broadcast from noon to 3 and with questions and answers and book signing and other things afterward. That'll also be at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California. It's a great facility. Come join us. There is no charge. You just do have to sign up in advance so they know how many folks to expect. But go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for the Reagan Library broadcast, and we will see you there in a matter of less than 3 weeks. That coming right up. Go to michaelmedved.com. There's a number of stories that are politically fascinating. Is the Virginia governor's race was not supposed to be much of a contest. Republicans have done very badly in Virginia recently. President Trump lost, I think it was by 13 points. He lost substantially in Virginia this last time. And that's why all of the polling that shows a tie or within the margin of error, a very slight lead for the former governor, who's McAuliffe, who is actually trying to recapture the governor's office in Virginia. You have term limits in Virginia. The governor only gets to serve one term. But there's a Republican candidate, Glenn Youngkin, who has bankrolled $2 million in a radio and television blitz since securing the party's nomination in early May. It's an unusually early and aggressive start to advertising by a self-funded candidate. Youngkin has hit the airwaves ahead of Governor Terry McAuliffe, former governor, who was on TV and radio in the run-up to his party's June 8th primary, but has stuck to digital since then. Okay, all of this reflected in polls that show an extremely tight race and a real opportunity for a dramatic instance of GOP progress coming up this November. Because the election in Virginia is not 2022, it's 2021, this year. There is also a Quinnipiac University poll, new poll in Texas, that ought to get some attention. It found that 48% of Texas voters say they approve of the job Governor Greg Abbott is doing. He's a Republican, of course. While 46% disapprove. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Greg Abbott is cooked or doomed. They don't even know who's going to run against him. I think Democrats are hoping they'll get Matthew McConaughey to run against him. But it does indicate the possibility of a more competitive race than it should be in the state of Texas. So we have that coming up. And then this little bit of good news from Colorado. A redistricting commission, and this is one of those bipartisan commissions that Democrats say they love, has just released its preliminary congressional map yesterday, becoming the first state in the union to reveal a draft ahead of the midterms. The preliminary map is based on the 2019 U.S. Census, and it'll be revised when the Census Bureau releases its final data in August. The commission ticked the Democrats off because the things have been trending Democratic in Colorado, but apparently what the commission has designed would keep the three Republican seats in the Colorado delegation safe and sound and create more competitive districts elsewhere. So the fact that the Democrats, who have viewed everything as basically an example of why we need these bipartisan, nonpartisan commissions to do all the redistricting, no gerrymandering, etc. Here they have that commission functioning and they don't like it. But something that I think everybody should like in the United States, it was one of those stories that we didn't spend much time with because it was so stupid. It was beyond belief. It's been resolved. The New Jersey Board of Education has reversed its decision to remove holiday names from the school calendar after members of the public voiced disapproval over the move. This is in Randolph, New Jersey. Now, Randolph, New Jersey is a small town. It's basically the school district, I think, services about 30,000 people. It's not a big, massive school district. But they had taken a vote. Initially, they had announced a policy they were going to change the name of Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day, which a lot of cities are doing. And people screamed and shouted and went crazy because it turns out that Randolph, New Jersey is about a third, most estimates, are Italian American. And so then they were going to rename the holiday Indigenous Peoples Day Columbus and Italian American Heritage Day, but you can't have Columbus. And so then people protested that. So then they made a decision, we're going to take all the names of holidays off the designation of those holidays. They are now restoring all the holiday names, including Thanksgiving, Christmas, Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year, Columbus Day. In June, earlier this month, they had wanted to call every holiday just a day off with no mention of the actual holiday name. And that would have included the Martin Luther King holiday. And it might have included Juneteenth, even, which is now a federal holiday. It's not only insulting, but it sends the wrong message to our students. We should be teaching our children the importance of these dates, one resident said during the public comment section of the meeting. And the nice thing about this is no more Indigenous Peoples Day because it's not an official holiday. No more. And again, somebody pointed out that they couldn't find any people who claimed Indigenous people, any tribal affiliated members in the town of Randolph, New Jersey. But my goodness. Now, if Joe Biden were more like President Trump, he'd take credit for bringing Christmas back to Randolph, New Jersey, which can now be mentioned again as a holiday. But doesn't this give a reflection of part of what's wrong with our country, where the you have so many arguments that are so bitter and so deep about so little? And that is something that is even going on. We'll play you some sections of an interchange involving Matt Gaetz. Yes, he's still in Congress, facing some personal challenges. But he was challenging the defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, on the issue of critical race theory in the military. And he was also challenging General Mark Milley. And they went back and forth, and we will cover that for you. There's also, sometimes you will hear people on the left saying, look, we have a lot of respect for Trump's supporters, but it's just Trump himself we don't like. Does it show a lot of respect for a very prominent commentator to call Trump voters maggots? Maggots? Really? And then Kamala Harris is heading out to do something recommended by her fellow Democrats to take a trip to the border. Is this going to be a profoundly significant event? And I also do want to speak a little bit about the latest for Rudy Giuliani. Dateline today, New York State suspended Rudy Giuliani from practicing law on Thursday. That's today, months after the former New York mayor battled to overturn the settled results of the presidential election on behalf of President Trump. Okay, they say Rudy won't be allowed to practice law anymore. I don't know what he was practicing during the election aftermath, but it wasn't law. And it wasn't to his own benefit. Will he contest his suspension of his license? Undoubtedly he will. Because the rule of law is basically one of the core principles of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.